Cyril Kipper and Bourne Show. We're kicking it in gear. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jimmy Willie. James Wilson. Wilson!
I admire your commitment
that,
to the
Does that
bit.
Not remind you of the volleyball?
Yes, it absolutely does. If it didn't, it would be a very weird way to bring Jimmy Willie into the show.
Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, we're on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. You can always download us if you don't catch us live and text us at 590-590 and get them in because we're kind of jam-packed again this week. I don't know if we've broken the news to our loyal followers of Real Kipper and Bourne, but we will be...
We just got news in our ears.
We just got news. My Wilson is out the window.
Okay, well, you know, I blame our beloved general, Nick, for misleading me in an email earlier today.
Because
I read it. I got it correct on what she told me. So that's just, what is going on back here?
I don't know. I put the jersey. The Blue Jay guys, we came in off the Blue Jay show.
What the hell?
I hung up a jersey.
I don't want to know what your closet looks like at home, pal.
What are you, like my wife now?
Well, I just looked back. I was like, what is this monstrosity?
Okay. I can't fold. All right? You want me to say it on national television? I can't fold.
We'll have to wait.
I'm not an ambi-turner.
Okay, pull the thing down, would you?
Yeah.
Just go, please.
Get a Leafs kit up there.
There you go.
All right. We are off to a rocky start.
We got no Wilson and a half-baked jersey up on the wall.
10 days until playoffs start, and we got to iron out the kinks here. This is a... You can't go into playoffs on a rough stretch.
Whether it's Jimmy Willie or David Sisboomba, I was breaking the news that we will not be on the air tomorrow due to a afternoon, what do we call them, getaway game, Sammy?
Getaway game, correct.
Getaway game to the Blue Jays.
Stealing our
so, thunder. Get your texts in, 590-590, because we're jam-packing those things in this week.
And I would like to say this won't happen during playoffs. We'll be here for you every playoff game.
Is that a Mark Messier guarantee?
No, I shouldn't say that. I know post-Leafs will be here.
Oh, yeah. But woke up this morning, boys, in the afterglow of what was a wonderful win for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night.
You did like
3-2 win in overtime. Toronto Maple Leafs outlasting Kyle Dubas's Pittsburgh Penguins.
And I woke up without a voice. I woke up, I couldn't speak, and I was
why?
Like, I don't know. I just
you weren't yelling last night at the TV, well, were you?
No,
a little bit,
maybe. No, I wasn't at all. I was by myself. I'm not going to yell by myself in the living room. I'm not a maniac. But I was petrified that it's almost like a nightmare where, you know, it's like, you know, those nightmares where you can't get your skates tied or you can't get to the school on time or all those different
can't tee the ball up.
Can't tee the ball up. I thought I was about to have one where it was like my favorite game of the year and I can't come in. I can't talk. That my life flashed before my eyes. So
what are you saying to us here?
That I can talk and I'm happy.
He's, no, besides that, about the Leafs, like you woke up and you're like, what, we're going to win the Stanley Cup now this year? Is that what you're thinking?
No.
This could be the year that the Leafs win the Cup?
I would never, ever in a million years predict the Leafs to win the Cup. Ever.
Okay.
I would never, ever, like, you know, never say that.
But you are no longer predicting them to go out in the first round?
I think that they will put up a great fight in the first round and potentially win their first round series. Yes, I am
so
starting to believe that.
Whereas as late as a month and a half, you thought, doom and gloom. They're going to play the Florida Panthers. They're out. There's not a chance that this team's advancing. Six weeks ago, 8 weeks ago.
I wouldn't even
Christmas.
Think that long. No, I don't even think that long, Kippy. Like, start of March,
two
maybe.
Weeks?
Maybe start of March.
So like, 2 weeks.
No, that's longer than 2 weeks ago now, but that's like a month ago. But
was it before or after Saturday night against the Oilers when they...
Around there.
Trade deadline was exactly a month ago.
Really?
A month and few days.
I think this is where a lot of Leaf fans are, which is, you know, they got them right. They got us right where they want us, where it's just there has been a new hope instilled with a different looking team, with different guys, with all three of their superstars on different lines, a different looking decor, a hot goalie, where now the worst possible thing has happened, where we've all been tricked like idiots again into believing that they can win the first round.
Let's not get crazy with we all.
Well, no.
Listen.
I will say Leaf Nation.
I'm not sure how many people are as nuts as you are for the Leafs.
So, I mean, I am in so many group chats regarding the Leafs. I talk about the Leafs all day long. Like, you know, I am on a radio show talking about the Leafs. People come to me to talk about the Leafs. And I wouldn't say it's full hope.
Okay.
But people like this team, Kipper. I think it's a likable Leafs team, the way that they act in the
ice. I'm not arguing anything here. I'm just getting the Sammy vibes right now. That's all I'm doing here.
Maybe people could text in and tell me if I'm wrong, but I do feel that there's a bit of hope. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day today in Toronto. I'm feeling like hope is kind of bubbling up with a great win last night that sent, you know, Doobie packing with his tears in his eyes. Like, feels like there's a good feeling around this team right now.
You can't argue that.
Dangerous. No. And I would agree that in my talking with Leafs fans, they're in. Like, it'll hurt if they were to get eliminated now. There was a while where it was apathy, disinterest. You can't fool me. You know, fool me once, yada, yada. Fool me 100 times. Here we go. People are ready to get hurt again.
Hey, pull me back in.
And I have to say that a big part of this, too, for me, is the big, bad Florida Panthers, who we were all horrified about and how they were potentially the best team in the league forever. They just haven't been. They have kind of hit the skids here. They haven't been nearly as good as they were in the middle of the season. They're banged up. Ekblad's going to be out to the start of the playoffs. Their Haggy's hurt. You know, Tkachuk missed a game here or there. They're not what they were. They're still a horrible matchup for the Leafs, but they aren't what they were in the middle of the season.
This is where, like, I'm with you. They are more playoff likable, right? Because it came to fruition here. The more sandpaper, the Max Domies of the world, the Ryan Reeves, Joel Edmondson. I know he's out, but when he was in, gave a look of playoff hockey. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you that they aren't going to get run out in the first round. But I think outside of that, where you just mentioned Florida, I think we can go league-wide and go, okay, this is the least predictable out of any kind of playoff run. Like, we can handicap teams, and we know which ones are the good ones or the deep ones. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense now, and maybe it's because you're watching every night four teams jump into a last playoff spot. Not necessarily because they've been playing great hockey.
Someone has to get in.
But somebody has to get in.
Yeah.
It's like musical chairs, right?
Someone,
like, what are you, a professional musical chair? No, it's just when the music stops, you look.
Yeah.
You got a seat or you don't have a seat. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's a different vibe around this team than it was. And, you know, maybe we can get into it a little bit last night. You know, what you saw that made you feel that way, that has you coming in so positive about this. What last night gave you that feeling, Sammy?
Well, I guess this is more personal stakes, but I just felt like last night I was, you know, I had the playoff feels in that game where we're getting into that time of the year, and I just felt like that was a big game against a team that has a ton of star power who needed it desperately. And I thought the Florida came out, got Florida on the mind. Pittsburgh came out hot in the first period. Leafs kind of weathered that storm, and I thought they controlled the game for the most part and played really well. And specifically, again, Auston Matthews, to me, playing on that top line with those two guys, has looked the best he's ever looked to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm blown away by how much different he's looked over the last little bit.
So you were feeling, like, very positive after that first period that they weathered a storm. I don't know what they had, 3 shots on goal in the first 17 minutes. Was that just a weathering the storm, or was that just a team that maybe could have found themselves down 2-0 or 3-0?
Yeah, it certainly could have when you get outplayed like they did. You know, I thought Pittsburgh was an all-out effort. Pittsburgh was very good, I thought, for the first stretch of that game. Like, there's times guys tried to take the puck to the middle. You got 5 Penguins diving in the slot to get in the way. You know, it felt like desperation push from a team like Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, not great. You don't want to get outplayed like they did in the opening part of it, but they did slowly pull it together, and it felt like it was too much for Pittsburgh to hang in there for the whole way. But yeah, no, to your point, it was a good push from Pittsburgh to start.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to welcome in Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, also former general manager of the Leafs. Always great to have him on, so we'll talk plenty around Austin Matthews and the push towards ending the season. And then at the top of the hour, Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers, but does an amazing job breaking down. And we'll talk to him about Samsonov moving forward, another stellar outing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about weathering the storm, Sammy. Sammy to Sammy.
Well, yeah.
Sammy to Sammy.
Yeah.
It really looks like he's shaping up here to pick up where he left off, mm-hmm. I guess, from beating Tampa Bay in the first round last year. And a lot of great vibes coming out of that series. And unfortunately, the collision in the second round.
Yeah.
Can't even remember who hit him. Oh, it's Luke Shen.
I don't remember. With him. I really don't remember it.
Is that what happened?
You're right.
Luke Shen
ended
up sliding back on a partial breakaway and took him out.
Yeah.
And he never returned.
Never came back.
So hopefully that's behind him. But
he hasn't left the game weirdly at all this year, so it should be fine.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see how that plays out. All right, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kippers Clipper of the overview against Sid's Pens last night.
Well, obviously, the fact we were able to keep it out of our net on the penalty kill was a big factor in the game with how many penalties we took. And other than that, I thought we played a pretty good game defensively. Didn't give up very much, even in that third period. I think we gave up very much. Obviously, they get one in behind Sammy there. But I thought we played patient. They didn't get much off the rush. It's a team that does a lot of damage on the rush, and we managed that really well. Guys didn't didn't cheat, didn't get away from that, stayed with it, even though the game was really tight. I think we didn't get a ton of offense here tonight ourselves, but it was one of those games where we just had to stay with it. So because we didn't get enough offense, we don't get the regulation win, but I liked a lot of things about the game. And then, the overtime, I thought the guys handled that well, too, to get the second point.
In terms of, like, really positive developments, I thought last night was the best TJ Brody's played maybe all year. I can't remember him being involved in the offense so much. He had the puck in the O-zone. He was moving around. Even in overtime, he was, cycling the puck with the guys down low. I just thought he skated it well, moved it quickly.
Made a great pass to Nyes for his goal.
That's right, too. Yeah. It just feels, it felt like, okay, well, if they can get a piece of that, he may know that he's trying to play his way back into the lineup.
And we're going to see where they are in 10 days from now. But I mentioned it a week ago that I'm not convinced he could still be in the lineup, that he's a lock to be in the lineup in game one.
Right.
And I'm still not sure. And I agree with you. He looked better. A terrific cross-crease pass to Nyes for that all-important goal. And looks like he's starting to come around somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm starting to get into that question of, okay, if Brody's in and everybody's healthy, who's out?
Yeah. Mm. Lilligren.
See, that's... I need a right-handed shot to start.
Who are you thinking?
It's so brutal to be like, no matter what, this guy's in because he's right-handed.
I'm not taking Benoit out. And Lilligren's not coming out because I need him.
You don't need
and
him.
And I need... No, you do. You do. You're going up against Florida. You need big bodies.
And Lilligren's at?
Well, Lilligren can do more, though. Lilligren can give you 20, 21 minutes if he's feeling confident and he keeps his game simple.
Yeah.
He can look like a top four defenseman.
You know what I mean? I guess you can't make gestures on radio. I'm not so sure. When he's come back healthy.
He's got to get two or three games under his belt.
When he's come back from injury,
I'm not putting him in game one coming off of this.
Yeah.
So I'm with you there.
He needs to get back in.
But he needs to get back in, and right-handed D are at a premium.
Yep.
We know what it means to the Leafs. Who's he taking out then?
Brody's. Brody's still leaving him out.
Brody.
God, I thought he was their best D last night.
Yeah.
Brody, I'd rather play the physical game than I hope Brody can skate one out game.
I guess the question is, Brody has played. Yeah, I'm with you on Benoit. I don't even want to discuss Benoit. I want him in.
So for me, it's a matter of like figuring out, do you want Brody, who's played the right side most of his career very well, who looks good now, or Liljegren, who hasn't played in a month and is hit and miss to begin with?
Haven't loved Labushkin recently either.
I didn't think he was great
against Montreal.
The giveaway was bad.
Didn't think he was great against Montreal either. I think he's playing too much.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's just because he's right-handed and he's big. Keith seems to like him, but it just seems like he's getting a little bit overexposed a bit. But he won't. I don't think he's coming out. He's right-hand shot, big body.
A boarding call there last night.
Oh, I hate that call.
I hate it. He's eliminating a guy.
What's he supposed to do?
It's a hard play on a guy. Okay, again, I always want to emphasize that I don't like dumping on the officials, but last night's game,
awful.
Like it's embarrassing.
Whenever Leaf was hauled down Carlson in the final few minutes,
stuck his stick between his legs.
How do you not call that?
That's a penalty 1,000 out of 1,000 games.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby got high stuck.
100% that stick hit on the face.
What is your blade doing up in his face? That's a high stick. All day long.
I don't think
all day long.
Did the puck hit his puck? The puck hit his face, not his stick.
His stick also hit his face. His stick is up by his neck.
The puck protected him from the stick.
Stop it.
Without the puck, the stick's going into
his face. They reviewed it. It was the correct call.
It's a stick in the face. Anyways.
Correct call.
Anyways.
Sorry.
The slash, Raquel's slash on Marner.
Soft.
Embarrassing. Call. Embarrassing.
I thought the one on Willie, too, when Sid gets underneath him when he's trying to get around him, I was like, thought that was soft, too. I thought every call was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but like, we cannot see these in game one. We cannot see these.
Will. It happens every year. That's,
No.
I mentioned this last night on Leafs Talk, Kip, that it felt like a playoff game because there was 5 ticky-tack calls against the hockey team. That's what happened. It gave me PTSD to the first round last year and the year before. Or they call 6 a game for nothing. And they're like, we got to set the tone. So can you just let them play hockey?
Yeah.
Okay, we got our thoughts on TJ Brody. Better?
Better. Way better.
Enough to lock him into game one. Let's ask Sheldon Keefe on clip 4.
Van Ryan and I were talking on the bench just a few times about how he was probably our most efficient puck mover here today. Just calm and... not just on the goal and those situations you mentioned that he gets assists on, but he just moved the puck with poise and then under pressure, just relaxed and making some plays. Obviously, the first goal we give up in the game, you know, we sort of panic and throw the puck away and it ends up in our net ultimately. And Brodes has got some poise with it, and you need that. You got to be able to move the puck efficiently out of your end under pressure. And if you can't, then it turns into the way that a lot of our first period was to start before the penalties became a factor. But, Brodes helped us make some plays to get us up the ice today for sure.
High danger scoring chances when TJ Brody was on the ice last night, 7-0 for the Leafs. Next highest was 4 in terms of high danger chances for the Leafs. So he was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, he's playing game one.
Probably.
Oh, definitely. Are you kidding me?
You know who's probably not? Benoit.
Yeah.
I know we all love him. We all want him in. It's probably Benoit. Yeah.
Well, I think Liljegren still is a candidate to not play.
We'll see where he's at. For sure. In terms of other things last night, looking around the hockey team, you mentioned Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
He was spectacular.
Kipper, I got something that I'm afraid to say to you, but I've been thinking about it a lot, and I have to be honest with you. No, the Marner stuff. I think the 12 games away from Mitch Marner was the best thing that's ever happened to Austin Matthews. I think he has improved and looks better right now than I ever remember him looking.
I think there was a switch too, and it was before Marner. It was facilitator. I'm telling you right now, he is looking for plays. Mm-hmm. He's not forcing, and the goals are coming. Like, he's in that. Listen, even the last 2 off a face-off.
They're just kind of going in.
They're kind of going in.
Yeah.
I don't really anticipate. They're going in on goalies that should stop them. And in the playoffs, it's more likely they will stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of his game, I've loved more than anything I've seen out of him in 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's because he's starting to understand at his position that he's moving the puck. It's not sitting on him long. He just looks like it's more inclusive, even though the goals are still coming. I don't disagree with you that there is a sense that, you know, Mitch isn't there feeding me all the time.
Well, he wouldn't, like,
but
let's not.
He is understanding now at the pivot position how important a complete look is for him.
Yeah. I don't think he would have 65 goals if he wasn't playing with Mitch for a lot of the year.
Sure.
And I don't think it really matters. I think if he looks like he looks right now, like, we talk about him as the best scorer in the game, clearly. And it's like, everyone's always like, the best scorer. But the way he's played, it's like, you can talk about him as the best player kind of thing. Like, he is up there. When he's looking like this, he's looking like the true center. I love him on that line. And I know we talked about it yesterday with Marner or whatever, but I think he's outscored 16-6 at 5-on-5 with him in the last 10 games, 18 points. Yeah, I don't know.
His 5-on-5 is off the charts.
I don't know how
the
you
numbers
split
are
it
off
up,
the
kid.
Charts.
How do you split it up? Like, it's the best he's ever looked.
You know what I think gives? Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's going to be interesting. Cale Yarncroc coming back is going to change some things, right? Because everyone likes Yarncroc, like in terms of playing with him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I am curious. I got the sense from you the other day that you don't love the line that Marner's on for him.
Listen,
and I wonder if Yarncroc becomes an option in some way.
I really believe when Yarncroc comes back, you're gonna see Willie go back with Tavares, and you're gonna see Mitch with Austin and Max.
Yeah, they've just been trying to do this three lines.
And then you figure out your third line. But I don't think even last night we're seeing a ton of chemistry. There's guys playing well within the team concept, but are you seeing, like, outside of Max and Austin, is there anyone else you can say great chemistry?
I think Bertuzzi complements that line really well. Like, he's winning battles. He's digging pucks out. He's poking them around. He's going to the front of the net. Like, that mix to me is a great mix.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. I don't think there's a ton of chemistry with Marner and Tavares and McMahon
all. I think if you have a guy that you always call the engine, you know, like, he can drive a line.
He's also 2 games off of a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Right? Where he's still got to get his full game back.
And,
yeah.
You know, they connected with McMahon on a nice one. He actually made a great pass to Tavares going to the net.
Yeah.
JT couldn't put away last night. But, yeah, I am curious to see how much they're sold. Like, this version of Matthews, can he drag a line to success? Imagine Marner or Nylander not having to play top opponents in a round. I mean, what a breath of fresh air that would be.
What did Nylander play? 17 minutes. He's pulled everybody back, which is great.
Nylander was 16:30 last night.
And we may get to the point now where we're going to see some healthy scratches.
Probably tonight, wouldn't you think?
Well, listen, when you start hearing that Edmonton's starting to save Connor McDavid and... Then how do teams like Toronto not look at their stars and go, okay, which one do I want to say that he's going to take a night off on?
Panthers are sitting Ekman-Larsson tonight. They're resting him. Like, it's starting to kind of happen around the league.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
So the Leafs have 2 back-to-back Devils games now.
Ugh.
I know. And so we've had the debate about, will Matthews rest because of this 70 goals thing? And all of us feel the same, I think. Maybe, Sam, you feel like it's worth the push for 70. I don't know. But I think Kip and I feel the same, that it shouldn't
matter. I'm totally on the way he looks right now.
Yeah.
I would like to preserve that until game 1.
Put it in a glass case.
Yeah.
The other thing is, so too, is
let him play,
where do you sit now on home ice advantage? And if it's there, do you let it go? Do you force it? Do you want it?
So
I think I know your answer.
They're 3 points behind the Florida Panthers with a game in hand, 99-102. If they were to win their game, that game in hand, they'd be 1 point back, and they play Florida the final weekend of the year. It is a very real conversation, second in the Atlantic.
A tie also gives it to Florida, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Toronto's regulation wins are, they have 7 less regulation wins.
Yeah.
Let's start in Sunrise, baby.
Yeah, you just feel like, take the pressure off.
Yes. I hate this conversation because...
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's fine. I hate the conversation of, I'd rather suck and be on the road first. It just really bothers me, just from a perspective of, you need to be beyond that.
Yes.
You need to be, I'm good no matter... I don't care.
You know what this is?
And I'm not guessing whether or not... If we suck, it's better for us. I just want to go out, on the road, at home, I don't care. We're going to beat you either which way.
To me, it reminds me of, and I know there's some narrative about, of not playing Sidney Crosby or Malkin to start OT last night for Pittsburgh, where you're like, well, we're 3-8 with Crosby.
Well, you guys dumped on him, eh? Everybody dumped on Mike Sullivan last night for Crosby.
Dumb as hell, but then we found it was a skate issue.
I mean, did Evgeny Malkin have a skate issue too?
Yeah. Did he not have any timeouts?
He's the only one that doesn't have the switch it blades or whatever you call those things.
Is that true? He doesn't have the little clip.
They had to bring him a click. They brought him a whole second. No. When he got hurt, yeah. When he went in with McCabe, they brought him a whole new set of skates.
You could see it on the telecast last night.
Call time out and let him get skates on. You danced with the one who brung you. This is Sidney Crosby single-handedly. What do you know? You single-handedly drag your team back into the playoff race. You don't go, okay, Drew O'Connor's going to get it done.
I'm not even sure, but I don't even think you can call a timeout before, like, it'd be like calling a timeout.
The bench on the ice.
No.
Do the Jason Kidd spill the pop
I don't think you get to call a timeout in between periods.
Or just let their puck drop, get possession, shoot one in the boards. I don't know. Bro, get him on the ice.
Anyway, it's the same thing where it's like you're overthinking this cutesy thing where it's like, maybe if we start on the road, the vibes will be better. It's like, do the thing that helps.
They have the most road wins in the NHL this year.
He's really superstitious too.
Great team. Who's that?
Sid. Okay. He won't go to those blades. He's got to change his skates. He's got to take the trainer.
That's his punishment. He made his playoffs by one point again.
And he missed the eclipse because he was snoozing yesterday. They asked him if he was going to play. He's like, no, I'm snoozing.
Well, that's important.
I thought it was a vintage Sid Knight last night.
Yeah.
Like in the fact that
he wants it so bad, he's all over the refs, whining, slashing everybody.
Yeah. He's got the puck on his stick the whole game. I thought he was unbelievable last night.
Everything to drag them into a regulation win.
Except the blades. I'll do anything for hockey love, but I won't do that.
I like Bunting's game too.
He was great.
Yep, flopping around in the first shift.
He flopped and drew
a
penalty.
Was he flopping?
The penalty drew to start the game was so Bunting. Skates pointed up at the rafters on the way down.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's part of his game.
It works. He does draw a lot of penalties.
Some of the most in the league over the past couple of years. It certainly does work. So. Yeah.
And you like the shot of Kyle Dubas and... Jason Spezza at the end of the game.
I've never seen someone so clearly recognize they're on camera because he's all uptight before it happens and it goes in. He's like, I can't make a scene. Need to exit.
He knows where to find the exits pretty quickly from heartbreak in that building. So,
hey.
He knows how to get out of there.
But it is pretty unbelievable that the guy who scores the goal is one of the best trades he's ever made.
Definitely.
Getting Jake McCabe at 50% value puts his team away. He must have been watching that being like, oh, nice to see that come through.
And, you know, that Carlson trade, like, he is good offensively, clearly.
Yeah.
He's a disaster in his own zone.
Yeah.
He's quieter. He's quieter the last 2 weeks for Pittsburgh.
I just watched him last night. He takes that brutal trip.
When they were out of it a month ago, he was at his all-time worst.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
But now they've calmed him down. Mm. It's limited. Mm.
Do you want to listen to Keith on McCabe getting the winner?
I do.
Sure.
Let's do a clip, too.
Yeah, it's big. It's good. You know, it's a cool moment, like you said, for a guy that does a lot of the grunt work for us. You know, he's a competitor and does whatever the game calls for. So for him to get that opportunity, make good on it, it's a nice moment for him for sure.
And I love the finish. It's actually a tough little finish.
Yeah,
to the forehand, through the arm. Good on him.
Can he do it 5-on-5 a couple times?
McCabe?
Yeah.
8 goals this year. Quite a bit.
Not bad.
Yeah. I think that's
not
right.
Bad. I think he's, you hope he's going to set the tone for sure because he's that guy, I think, that needs to really be in the faces of top players.
I hope he's finding a level of maturity with it where he can play like that without getting caught up in the emotion like last year's playoffs where it felt like when there were big hits and high event physical moments, mentally it kind of took him out of the play a little bit.
All right, we got a few minutes here. I want to hear Sheldon Keefe on the penalty kill because I didn't like it last night.
We stayed with it. I mean, we were in our end way too much tonight. I thought our penalty kill's been going really well here, and it's been A lot of it's been on the backs of hard pressure and then clears on loose pucks. We didn't clear the puck enough tonight. So as a result, we were in our end a lot. And, you know, they had a lot of puck time. But I thought we pressed things to the outside and they got things to the interior. They were from distance. And a couple of times, of course, Sammy had to make some good saves for us. But, you know, the guys stayed with it. That's a lot of penalty kill time tonight. So it's good to find your way through it. That's what you like to see, of course.
Yeah, Pitt had grade A looks mm-hmm. on it all night. And Sammy was really good. But I don't know if I'm finding it too aggressive where there's breakdowns and then the seams are open for these grade A chances. And I just think they just need to tighten it up. Mm-hmm. And I maybe even less aggressive for me.
Yeah. Hey, how about the 2-on-1 that Dewar and Kampf have, which nightmare, as you mentioned, nightmare duo to be on a 2-on-1. Dewar is always in the right spot, so the coach plays him all the time. He can't handle a hockey puck. Like, he can't make an offensive play.
Like
read.
A grenade.
Like,
he's beating it to a square at all times.
I mean, he's just a non-existent threat on the offensive side. Maybe he'll tip some.
He has 11 goals.
I know.
I'd like a 30 for 30 on that. How
does
that happen?
It can't be 15 last year.
But specialty teams got to hit it at the right time here. Yeah. And Matthews, couple goals off of faceoffs, but still want to see some snapping around mm-hmm. like other teams look against the Leafs.
Yeah, maybe that's something to get ironed out. There's five hockey games left over 9 days here.
Barney, you wrote an article on March 27th mm-hmm. about the penalty kill mm-hmm. and how it's, you know, you're not that worried about it and how it'll figure itself out and it's not that big a deal. Since that date, I asked Sportsnet Stats where their penalty kill ranks in the league. It is 2. It ranks 2nd with 95.2%. 1 goal on 21 opportunities.
That's great.
That's the most shorthanded opportunities in the league amongst that time for those teams. And Carolina is 100% over that time.
Oh, my.
13
you know,
opportunities.
Last night, I agree with Kip. Last night was not
they
pretty.
They were scrambled eggs.
For sure. And their goalie bailed them out. But by and large, they've looked better.
Yeah.
Having Marner back is really going to help. But, yeah, one thing that does scare me is they just not scare me. They don't have the offensive threat that they used to on the PK when it was Mikheyev and Engvall and guys that would go, which I don't know, Engvall. I know how we feel about him. But
Mikheyev and Engvall is offensive threats. Boy, your check is in the age from their age.
But they had guys who would skate it. Right now, it's like if they don't get clears, they're cooked. No one skates it out.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, Gord Stellick. We'll get into more on the Pittsburgh Penguins, Toronto Maple Leafs, 3-2 win for the Leafs in overtime after these words.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back at you. Real Kipper and Bourne. All right, let's welcome him in. Stellicktricity. Gord Stellick. Where you been, pal? We've missed you.
Well, been here, there, everywhere, and, you know, experienced the eclipse, did my taxes, following hockey, you know, all that kind of stuff, Kipper.
Eclipse and taxes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somehow they
You're
feel
covered
related,
both
like,
ways.
End of the world sort of scenarios in both cases.
They're both very dark.
There it is. That's what we're looking
Gord,
for.
Gord, 5 games to go for the Toronto Maple Leafs, including last night. Now, the game meant a lot more to Pittsburgh than it did Toronto, but yet Toronto found a way to win a close game. So maybe that's a good sign that they're locking it down for a playoff start that's coming right around the corner here. What's left right now for you in these last 5 games starting tonight against New Jersey?
So, you know, first, Kippy and Justin, you know, this is the 8th consecutive year they made the playoffs. And of all 16 teams that will ever get in the playoffs, I don't know if going in hot or going in cold makes a difference. I don't know if starting at home or on the road, how much a difference it was making for this Toronto Maple Leaf team more so than anyone else. I mean, they had that year that was done against the Montreal Canadiens and it didn't happen and on and on and on. So there's just been a lack of predictability, whatever the end of the regular season means for the playoffs. But saying that, you want to see the kind of efforts they had in Montreal. They had against Pittsburgh. Great to get Mitch Marner back because you want to be healthy. So I like the fact that they find a way to win a game. This one had a little bite last night. Pittsburgh is playing playoff hockey right now, a little bit of desperate hockey, and you found a way to do it. And again, your depth is starting to come through. Your goaltending has been strong. So these are all encouraging signs. Do they all end game number 83 like they have in the past in some cases? Well, we'll find out. Hopefully it doesn't. All you can do is go out, in my mind, give those kind of efforts.
I don't think we mentioned this in the first half hour of the program, but Austin Matthews has 5 goals from 70 with 5 games left. Does he get it?
Well, I don't care one way or another, you know, because I think I think he'd rather win the Conn Smythe Trophy, as would Marner or anyone else. But saying that, Justin, I'm not going to rain on the parade. It's a hell of an accomplishment. Yeah. 50, 55, 60, 65. He's on a tear of late. It's an incredible number. I mean, I hope he does. That would be great if he does. I also, when you talk about, you know, resting him, that's why I can see him playing all the games. If he were to get to 70, maybe they take game 82 off. But, you know, you just are managing ice time a little bit more. You see that rolling 3 and 4 lines a lot more. But boy, oh boy, I kind of had put that in the back burner, like I had the Pittsburgh Penguins making the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. So good on Austin Matthews. It's a possibility. I hope he does.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It seems like eons ago that we were talking at training camp about Willie Nylander playing center, I think.
Yes.
Never really came to fruition. But here we are, 77 games in, and now we're starting to see major changes to lines, Gord, where we've got, you know, 3 superstars on 3 separate lines. Where is this playing out for you? Do you see old reliable come back in game 1, or is there a real chance that Nylander, Matthews, and Marner are separated to start the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I don't know about start, but there is a chance. And you know what, Kippy, every single playoff has been, the depth on the other team has been an asset against the Leafs, who've had to rely on basically 2 lines. And so here you've got a whack of different options coming together. You got, do you want to go the strength down the middle and do it that way? Because as you mentioned, they made a lot about Nylander. They had Domi playing center later on. If, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, when he was there, you kind of wondered, were they going to have Matthews, O'Reilly, and Tavares last year? Because, man, and if you can throw those 3 kind of lines out in the playoffs, I mean, that just really adds to your depth. But now you know, Bertuzzi looks like obviously a real deal. Matthew Knives looks like he can play on the top 2 lines. Bobby McMahon can play on the top 3 lines. So I think, Kippy, there's a lot of different options, a little more options, it seems, for Sheldon Keefe. And this is where the bench coaching and the feel is going to have to come in more, because, hey, we're not after anyone's job at all, but you see what's happened to coaches this year in the NHL. And I think, you know, like his legacy is going to be a lot of way decided about this, you know, a great going deep in the playoffs. He could have a run like Pat Quinn and Pat Burns. 1 and out, don't know. So I think he sees now more options that he's got, and how is he going to deploy them? So I'm interested in that. So I could very well see them go 3 type of centers like that, or the easy way is to have your top 2 lines with 2 strong players each. But they got to figure out something different to make a difference against Tampa Bay, Florida, Boston, who, when they beat the Leafs, depth was always something in their favor.
You know, I think more we can finally sort of say that it is going to be Florida. They're not getting caught behind it by Tampa. Like, it just is what it is now that it's going to be Florida. Do you care about the quest for home ice? It is within their grasp here. If they play well down the stretch, is it important that they make that a priority?
No. I think it's important they play well down the stretch. Yeah. I kidded people in Winnipeg because I love the fans of Winnipeg. I got some great friends there. I think they're 0-36 in the whiteout, and they're going to do a whiteout again. I don't know why. And in Toronto, they played their best hockey on the road for whatever reason this team has. I'm not saying you want to have not have home ice advantage. You can get it. That's great. But it hasn't been the be-all and end-all for them. So, no, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about that.
Gord, the sense is that they should be healthy on the blue line. There's talk about Edmondson coming back as quickly as Thursday, maybe, or the weekend. There's talk about Liljegren getting a game in or two before the season's over. So all things being healthy here, who's in, who's out? Where is Brody for you?
Well, it isn't funny that Brody started to play better, but he's the guy that has had just had that off season this year that you'd be hard pressed to believe you would consider him being a healthy scratch, but at some point you would have had to. I think he likely will go with him as part of it. Again, just much Kippy and Justin, like you're talking about identifying the forwards that are going. It's another one about just what defensemen work. You know, how is it? Like last year, you can't have another Justin Hall performance who was like on for 9/10 of the goals in the playoffs, you know, and that again, whereas a Luke Shen who was slotted as a third pair ended up being a core four guy. So I'm still like, I did a column about Timothy Liljegren kind of comparing him to Rasmus Sandin in, you know, you want to find a way to have your young defenseman develop here and not somewhere else. And so I'm keen about him. Obviously, you know, your big guys are like Morgan Riley and McCabe and others about, hey, they come through. I liked Edmondson in particular and Labushkin, adding that Edmondson's won a Stanley Cup and gone to the final. So again, these are going to be questions for Sheldon Keefe. And obviously you dress six, but your core four are the one that are going to really matter.
You know, it's funny how the roller coaster of a season changes, the narrative changes, but Sheldon Keefe, you know, at times people had him on the hot seat, people, you know, love how he coaches, but his record with this Toronto Maple Leafs team has been very good. And I saw an article recently, Jonah Siegel, on Sheldon Keefe. This is his best coaching job with the Leafs, given some injuries to some key people and just their challenges throughout the year, no goaltending at times. What are your thoughts on the performance of the Leafs coach this season?
You know, an underrated coach, you know, but you don't have that playoff success. So that's kind of the dagger there. And I really thought when he took the team over from Mike Babcock, they were in a deep hole. And now maybe it was their loathing and animus towards Babcock that they just, that the Wicked Witch was gone and they played so well and got back in it. But I thought he did a solid coaching job there. I've liked him as a coach. He's not, you know, wasn't the big name like Babcock and all those. And too often we get wowed by the big name. But I think, you know, everybody has to wear about what happened in the playoffs, you know, including Kyle Dubas' record, whatever it may be as a general manager. You got to wear just one playoff round victory. And so that's going to be the ultimate litmus test. But I know when you're around for a long enough time, you start to develop your detractors, whatever it may be. But he's got to have a pretty good record among all-time Leaf coaches, whether it ends this year or another year or two, three down the road. So I thought he's done a solid job. I like that he has not had to. This has been the year that coaches do not walk back criticism. It's, you know, Rick Bonus, Rick Tocchet, John Tortorella kind of done it. It just seems to be more open season. They're saying, look, we're getting fired left, right, and center. So I'm going to go down doing it my way. And I see more of that with Sheldon Keefe this year.
Any concerns at all? I know the penalty kill has been on a good run lately here, but we were just talking earlier in the show that seemed like Pitt certainly had some good looks here. But in the last handful of games here, is it important that the power play starts looking like a real power play instead of maybe a set play off a faceoff? More, you want to see more out of it?
So my big concern is I don't want, because the first year when they lost to Washington, they got a standing ovation. I don't want to be with you guys the seventh consecutive year after the elimination game and talking about the same old stuff, how it happened. That's my biggest concern. Got to get the power play going. Like in the playoffs, special teams, goaltending, even more important. So you got to seize those opportunities. So I'll view it as a concern, Kippy, you know, but they also show when they got all cylinders flying, they're among the elite teams. Now there's seven or eight other teams that are like that. So you've got to differentiate yourself from that group with more consistency, which includes the power play.
So with the playoff race in the East kind of heating up here, you got five teams kind of on the cusp. You know, just get your thoughts on that portion of the NHL here. It's going to be interesting to see if any of those teams can come in, get hot and do damage. You know, between the Islanders, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Capitals, Flyers, who you like, Gord?
So first, you know, Justin, I like this race. Okay, it's going to be a photo finish.
Race.
A horse race, yeah. A photo finish. They're racing hard to the wire. These guys have just seen the barn and the home stretch and just gone off to the barn. I can't, you know, I mean, it's the weirdest race going. It's like the old walking race where, you know, if you misstep, you're out of it. The most boring thing to walk when they... So I really can't believe the lack of teams that have been seizing it. I know people want to see Patrick Kane and want to see Sidney Crosby in the playoffs. I think it'll be Detroit, Washington, and Islanders at the end of it, and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh will be the teams that are out. Yeah. Pittsburgh makes it. I give them full marks. They were dead, but they went on a Nashville Predators-type tear, and they got a break that everybody else said, whoa, Nelly, and didn't and stopped the race for a while, and they would have taken advantage of it.
What did you make of the attention off of Sid Crosby from the officials last night?
So, you know, and Craig Simpson made reference to it, but, you know, when you analyze it, that first they made the right call on Bobby McMahon, that would that be partly a reputation call if there wasn't video review? You know, so a double minor, which could have been a different, you know, on Sid, changed. And I know the other part, the Leafs had the puck going the other way when Matthews and Sidney, you know, collided. But for a second, it did look like a significant collision. So, I mean, is he getting extra respect? Because he's like, I've never quite heard of like the old book, Jordan's Rules in Basketball for Crosby's Rules in Hockey. But it was kind of funny. I thought the thing went okay as far as it went, as far as the calls went. And then, I mean, the skate thing. I mean, our friend John Shannon said that just only Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid are the only two that have the old-fashioned boot. It's like a lot more players should get that if they're the only two.
But basically, I mean, they've done okay with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, you know, when we're playing house league and all of a sudden you got to yell at someone's parent to take the hand of the skate and they go get Frank Mahovlich's dad at Leaside Arena to sharpen it. And the poor kids missed two shifts of house league play. I mean, that's what it was like last night with Sidney Crosby's skate experience.
You still have the tubes, right?
Was that pre-microns or were those microns?
Tackleberries. Remember Tax, and I put my number on the skate. I got it.
Super Tax, Gord. Super Tax. Okay.
Well, Ernie couldn't afford Super Tax.
No, neither could George.
Well, you got it paid for eventually anyway, Kippy. Someone did.
We did. All right, buddy. Listen, great stuff as always. Thanks for doing this, Gordo.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Gord. Appreciate it.
That is Gord Stellick. It's electricity.
Simmer had an all-time line last night. Crosby, you know, gets hit. Him and Matthews collide, and it was after the high stick where they blew plays dead twice, where there was really no reason to blow the play dead. And he was like, are they going to blow the whistle every time Sid gets hit? And it was like,
Simmer's
great call.
In playoff form last night.
He was, yeah.
We're getting into the season.
I'm not getting treated the same way as Sid. 800 players aren't getting this.
Right.
But still got to play the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, there has to be something between what we saw last night and respect for Sid.
For sure.
I saw, too quick
on the whistles.
I saw a little clip floating around the internet of super duper slow-mo that Matthews had a pretty hard, long look at Sid before he hammered him.
There's a lot of people that said that that Austin had a very good look.
Yeah,
before.
I'll show you the video in the break, but maybe a little bit of a accidentally on purpose.
Let it be true.
Please, God.
You think he'll slash somebody soon?
Oh, my God.
He could be. Hey, he gave Darlene once. Maybe he'll get weird.
He's playing with Domi and Max, man. It's Domi and Bertuzzi. It's the best thing for him.
That's actually the most protection he's ever had if he wants to get aggressive.
What kind of skates do you guys wear?
I've got, like, whatever the most Bauer, whatever there is.
What are your favorites, Kev? You know?
I was a Bauer guy, too.
Yeah. When I was the Marlies video coach, because they're the Maple Leafs, I had skates. They're three different locations, just in case they needed to hold an iPad. So I got, like, brand new skates.
Oh, my God. Incredible. Those,
yeah. I still remember the moment I went to my first junior A camp at Kitchener.
Yeah.
And I was the last cut, by the way.
Oof.
But they still bought me new skates.
Oh, what a feeling.
And my feeling was, even if I went home, I'm going home with new skates.
Yeah, you got something out of the deal.
What a great feeling.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we're just getting started.
Yes, sir.
Getting warmed up here. We go national next. We got Valley.
Yes.
Dee Valiquette will join us. We'll break down all the goaltenders as we get ever so closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. When we return to Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.